Help us to look into the Word of God and to see the things you would have us to see. Lord, we pray for your guidance in everything. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. We are going to go into Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Well, I thought I was going to cover Psalm 11 and Psalm 12. Might be ringing a little bit. Psalm 11 and 12. But I'm just going to do Psalm 11 because I think there's enough there to just do the first, that one psalm. It says in Psalm 11, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in His heaven. His eyes behold, His lids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright." What a tremendous psalm. I don't read the Psalms very much for encouragement. I mean, I just don't. A lot of people do. I like it if you do. I think it's an important thing. I think it helps you if you need settling. I'm just not that agitated in life. I just don't let things bother me. I had some stuff thrown at me this morning that was pretty wild, and it's like, oh, that's something. But you know what? I've been at this so long, meaning life in general, and this isn't church that anything here, but I've been at life so long and the ministry and trying to help people and realizing that I can never allow anybody to control my demeanor. Some of you don't know that yet. Really? Listen, it's easy to think that, oh man, you ruined my day. Oh no, 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 they didn't. You chose to allow them to impact you in a way that you ruined your day. Nobody has their day ruined. Now look, I'm not perfect. I just realized, you know, with my daughter here, I got to confess. I'm not perfect. I have my moments, but in general, I live a joyful life. I enjoy life. I'm content. I'm at peace. Not that, you know, things don't agitate me every now and then, because they do. But look at verse 1. "In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountains?" You know what? If you put your trust in the Lord, nobody can do anything to cause you, whatever you want to say, consternation. They can't do anything to try to cause you to feel like God has forsaken you or God doesn't love you. Listen, God loves you. Now it does say down here He hates some things. The wicked that lays snares for others. He hates that. He hates unrighteousness. He hates people that try to cause problems in other people's lives. He hates that, the Bible says. He hates all the workers of iniquity. Now, what is that? Well, does that mean that He doesn't love them enough to send His Son to die on the cross and to forgive them? No. Listen, He died for the false prophet. He died for everybody. But if you think God looks down and He goes, oh, you're doing that, let's just go extreme. Somebody hurting a child. God doesn't look down and go, well, you know, I know it's just a bad habit you have. He hates it. Right. He hates abortion. Yes. He hates all those things. Listen, He said it'd be better for you to hang a millstone around your neck than to harm a child. That's what He says. So you got to realize that God doesn't just look at things and say, well, you know what? Everything's okay. You do as you please. Listen, you may be going to heaven no matter what you do. Because the Bible says you're sealed with the Spirit of God the moment of salvation. You're sealed until the day of redemption. When's the day of redemption? That's when your body is redeemed. Your soul, your spirit are redeemed the moment you get saved. Your body's waiting for the redemption, waiting for the change, waiting for the twinkling of an eye when your body be changed into a glorified body. That's the day of redemption. And you're sealed to that day according to the Bible. But listen, you can do a lot of bad things in between then and now. Yeah, I said that right. Then and now. I thought I said it backwards because I said then and now, and it should have been now and then. But you got to look at it and you got to say, listen, God is God. He wants you to put your trust in Him every day. In the Lord put I my trust. So I looked up a couple of things on trusting the Lord. If you look at chapter 9, or I should say Psalm 9, they aren't really chapters. Psalm 9, verse 10. He says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." You see, if you seek the Lord, He hasn't forsaken you. And He says, "Those that know thy name will put their trust in thee," the Bible says. Look at chapter 6, or look at Psalm 16, verse 1. It's a prayer. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee." Look at Psalm 31. I finally got it right. Psalm 31. It takes a couple of tries with me as I lose my mind as I age. Psalm 31, look at verse 14. The Bible says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." You want to know how you know you're trusting in God? When you say, "Thou art my God." Is He your God? He needs to be your Savior, but He needs to be your God. Look at Psalm 56. See, this is why the Psalms are such a blessing to people, because they have so much commonality between them, and yet they're so deep. 56, look at verse 10. "In God will I praise His word, in the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do to me." And by the way, that's man or woman. These days, we got to say. And by the way, that's biological man and biological woman. Why? Because there aren't anything but that. You know, I got to say, a biological man. No, I really don't. You know, the X and Y chromosome and the X and the... have they changed that yet? Now look, they may get to where they can do that. I still don't think it's going to change it. I still think somebody that is born a male will remain a male all their life. And it's not by how you look. You can change your looks. You can't change what is biologically true. I was with a governor, and one of the things he mentioned was the fact that if you perform these operations on children, you're breaking the law and you will go to jail, and they're going to do even more on that. Florida is already the one that people look to for the election, because we got done in 8 hours. You know, we had all the results there. They're going to be looking to us to find out how to have the laws in place to protect children from dumb parents. Oh, I think they ought to be able to choose whether they're a girl or a boy. I told you, listen, I played with dolls once or twice when I was a kid, and I only did it once or twice because my brothers found out. I think my dad found out, and he wasn't too impressed either. He didn't even like the G.I. Joes, to tell you the truth, and he was a military man. You know, it's still a doll. Listen, he wants you to, you know, play with guns, you know, cap guns, you know, with a little orange thing. You know, we didn't have a little orange thing on the end of ours. I don't mind them doing that. I think it needs to look like it's not a gun whenever a police officer comes in. I get that. I'm all for that. But you know what? Kids ought to be taught how to play the right way. It doesn't mean that if some kid, you know, some boy plays with his sister and he's got a doll, no big deal. Don't get all concerned. But don't sex change the kid. That's what we're talking about. I want to trust in the Lord. I hope you do too. Look at verse, well, let me see. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. This is just too good not to give you this passage. Isaiah 26. Look at verse 3. "Thou wilt," now this is a promise, "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So you want to have perfect peace? I have perfect peace today. I really do. "Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." You trust in the Lord, your mind is stayed on God, and he says you'll have peace. He says perfect peace. You see, I'm already at peace with God, Romans 5:1, when I get saved. But the Bible says that if you pray, you'll have the peace of God. that you can't even describe. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. You know why people don't have peace? They don't pray right. But it goes on in verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You want to be strong? I'm not talking about that strength. I'm talking about everlasting strength. I'm talking about strength of mind, not just strength of body. I'm talking about strength of character. You ought to have strength of character, strength of body, strength of mind, strength of heart. That's what we need. How do you do it? Trust in the Lord. Go back to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. He goes in verse 11, he starts talking about the wicked, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. What does that mean? That means the wicked, they bend their bow at you. They make ready their arrow upon the string. Isn't that cool? They make ready the arrow on the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. I told somebody the other day, I said, God's on my side. Just a generic statement. In other words, I wanted something to happen. I prayed about it. It happened. And I just said, hey, God's on my side. It doesn't mean He's not on their side. It just means He's on my side. And if you're not on God's side, He's not on your side either. The thing is, I know that I want to be on God's side, therefore He's on my side, but it's my choice that puts me on His side. It's not God that says, oh, well, you know, let's deal a little bit out here, and if you do just this or this or this, and then I'll come bowing down to you and crawling towards you. That's not God. God says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. You got to, listen, but you got to draw nigh. God hasn't moved. If this is God right here, and I'm over here, what do I got to do? I got to draw nigh unto God. And then how close can I get? A lot closer. I draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto me. I have to take the first step. Why? Because He's God. He can make me do anything He wants me to do. He can force me with His ability. He's God, but He chooses not to do that. So go look at one of the words in that verse 2. That they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Privily, in secret. Look at Luke chapter 8, and we can run a lot of references on this. I don't know how many we'll run. I'll run it till at least I make the point, which probably could be one verse and I'd have the point made. But I want to look at a couple of different passages. Luke 8, look at verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Pretty basic. 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. He says, nothing is secret that won't be made manifest. You see, there may be things done privily, but it's all going to come to light. Sooner or later, the whole world's going to see. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12, verses 2 and 3. For there is nothing covered. Well, go back to verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. People that claim to be a Christian today is hypocrisy, and if they're not. I mean, there will be people that say, well, I'm a believer. I believe Jesus died on the cross, buried, rose again. But you better be a believer. There are people that can, if you say that, but you don't have it, it's hypocrisy. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. There's nothing covered that's not going to be revealed or hid that won't be known. Isn't that amazing? See, God sees everything. He beholds the good and the bad. He sees it all. You and I can't really fathom how in depth that is, but that's God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Again, I told you there's quite a few references we can run. I do want to run a couple of more. Matthew chapter 10. They do this thing privily, but listen, God sees it all. God knows their heart. God knows your heart. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 26. Fear them not, therefore. And you could, back it up a little bit if you want. But fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. God will show the truth and reveals what's said. We should look forward to the day of judgment when everything's going to be revealed for sure. One day it'll all be revealed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about the hidden things. Look at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, by the way, it's the only time Paul used the word required right here. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He's going to reveal everything. Why didn't he do it now? Oh, by the way, sometimes he does. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. He doesn't reveal it all, but if he does reveal it, and you and I need correction, he will make that correction. But we've got to be cognizant of the fact that he's going to make the correction and then be willing to accept the correction and be willing to do something with that correction to change us into what we ought to be for Jesus Christ. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes. I taught Ecclesiastes in the Bible Institute, and I had tapes of everything that I ever preached early on in Alabama. This was the only thing that was lost. And man, I spent a lot of time in Ecclesiastes. It's a difficult book. Not difficult, it's just something, it's under the sun. So everything, it's not, hey, let's see it from heaven's glory. It's, let's look at it from under the sun. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at the last two verses, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, apart from Jesus. He said this, let's get the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You want to just break it down in the brass tacks? Fear God, keep His commandments, that's your whole duty. Cool. Next verse. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's going to bring everything to light. I'm not worried about shining the light on everything that I see. I let a lot of things go in life. I was in management of businesses, for a long time. And, what I always thought was you pick your battles carefully. You don't fight every battle. You don't go, well, they did me wrong. Man, you got to let some things go. If you don't, they're going to drive you crazy. The world will drive the Christian batso if you let everything bother you. What's your whole duty? Fear God, keep His commandments. You leave it up to God. Let Him show everything. Now look, He may use you to do it. And that's okay. You just got to make sure your heart's right. You've got to always check your motives. I tell people all the time, and you've heard it, why do you do what you do? That's the whole thing. Why do you do what you do? You check your motive, and when you check your motive, it will reveal why you're doing it and your heart's intent. If you can be, and listen, here's a hard thing. If you can be honest with yourself. Most people have a hard time being honest with themselves. They can't face the fact that they are this or they are that. If you can assess who and what you are on a constant basis, over and over again, assess who you are, assess what you are, assess why you do what you do. Then what you'll do, when you come out on the other end, you'll look back and you'll go, oh, I'm better because I was honest with myself. And listen, pray about it. Lord, help me to be honest with myself. Lord, help me to see me as I am. And I've also told you this. Listen to what everybody says, because there may be an element of truth in things that people say. The first reaction you're going to have when somebody says something that you don't like is a wall. Defend. It's okay. It is okay for you to have the natural inclination to defend yourself. But then you're alone. Then you look at it and you say, you know what? I need to really think about what was said. And you may look at it and go, there's no legitimacy to it. But at least you looked. See, at least you looked. If you don't even look, then you have no hope or chance of becoming a better person. You just look at it and go, hey, they said 10 things right here. Look at this one right here. Oh, they're so bad. And the other 9 are right. Oh, and you just reject all 10 because they made one mistake. That's why I am very careful, more careful than what I used to be in what I say. I try to think it through and go, wow, if I say this and it's not exactly right, they're going to justify whatever they're doing. Children do it. Do you know, I certainly wasn't the perfect parent. There's witnesses here. But I wish I knew what I know now. Well, one thing is, you never discipline a child until you can get them to admit what they were doing was wrong. Now, the problem is not every kid's going to admit it. But that is the best philosophy. You know what happens if you... Here's what I was told, and I think in all these years I've seen it as true. If you discipline a child and that child says, hey, you don't know that I really did that, they justify it in their mind because of the unrighteousness of the punishment. So it happens. Now, I'll just tell you this. Sometimes you just got to go, hey, I know you're not going to admit it. You're still going to get it. It is what it is. I'm talking about husbands and wives too, by the way. Look at verse 3. Now, verse 3 is a very familiar verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's a rhetorical question, and the answer is nothing. If the foundations be destroyed... You know what's happening in this country? The foundations are being destroyed. History's being rewritten. You know that, right? It's an attack on the source of truth. It's corrupt in its order. That's what we got going on right now. They vilify God's order and thus alienate Him from society. I mean, if I was God, and you don't want me to be, not that I have a choice, but if I was God, I'd look down on this country and say, hey, I'm going to slam dunk you. But you know what? I believe there are enough believers in this country praying that God is giving us a little bit more time and a little bit more time and a little bit more time. I believe in the state of Florida. I think we've got, what we saw 4-6 years ago, we had a reprieve for a little while because had the, you know, had things not been the way it was, we'd have been 4 years further along in this demise of the country. In Florida, I think we have the same thing. We've got a situation where we have an enclave, one state, and Texas is doing real well too, and there's some other states that are standing tall and saying, hey, we're not going to allow a corrupt federal monstrosity to tell us what to do and to force us to do what the federal government says. So we have a little bit of time. You know what you ought to be doing? Praying for all those in authority. And that includes Joe Biden. That includes Kamala Harris. That includes Senator Pelosi. And or she's a representative. Got fired, but she's still there. You need to pray for each and every one of them. And I think somebody prayed this morning. Pray for them that they get saved. Pray for them. I don't pray for them enough. But I know if you want to lead a quiet and peaceful life, do that. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation is destroyed, not much. Now, I will tell you one foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, our foundation is Jesus Christ. We build upon it wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble will burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. Gold, silver, precious stones will be purified. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. But what's the foundation? Jesus Christ. So you see, that foundation can never be destroyed. Even at the judgment seat of Christ, if all of your work is burned up, the foundation's still there. Your house burns up, what do you got left? Foundation. This question is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer is nothing. So what do you got to do? You got to make sure the foundations of this country, of Christianity, of your marriage, of your family, of your work, of your church, that the foundations don't get destroyed. You know what's made a difference in this church is Bible preaching, Bible teaching. That's why I came here 40 years ago. That's why I'm back, because it was a Bible teaching, preaching church that did not change over those years. Wasn't always the same, but I'm just saying, it was always a Bible teaching church. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Look at Luke chapter 6. You'll recognize this one. You know, the house built on sinking sand and the house built on the right foundation. That's where we're going in Luke 6. Look at what the Bible says in verse 46. Luke 6, 46. And why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say? Hold on. Luke 6, 46. Why does that not look right? Oh, that's why. Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's what you need to be like. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Listen, I want my house built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And when I say my house, I don't just mean my house over there. I mean my house of my life. I want my character built upon that rock. I want everything about me to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if I do that, those foundations can't be destroyed. They can't be. Going back to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 13, the Bible says the whole earth was filled with violence. And you look today and the earth, the world is getting much more violent. I mean, the games that the kids play, the shows that are watched, it's creating a very cold society. The Bible says in the last days that the hearts of men, they'll grow cold. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, ever learning, never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's where we're heading. That's where we are. The earth was filled with violence. He says, though that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5, very interesting verse here also in Psalm 5, 5. Notice we're looking at Psalm 11, 5, that the loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now look at Psalm 5, 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible says. So what do you do with it? Oh, God is love. Yes, He is. Now, here's what I want you to think about. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and they said, "Who do you think loves somebody more? Somebody that tells them the truth, or somebody that worries about their feelings and lets them stay in error? Tell them the truth. That's the one that loves you." Listen, just because you say things that aren't popular doesn't mean you hate people. It just means that you care enough to tell people the truth. Listen, you see people that don't want to hear the truth anymore. And they're like, look, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be faced with that. You know, I watch things and I analyze it and I calculate and I go, I need to know. Because I like to try to figure out, where is this thing heading? If you're at my house, you see a lot on the Bitcoin, you know. Because I'm trying to figure out what all that, and I, like I said the other day, I think it's a one world currency. I mean, billions of dollars. Because this guy is the next great financial genius. No, he's a crook. How in the world did all these companies put money into it unless it is to crash the system? And maybe that's what it is. So I want to know. I mean, look, if you got all your money wrapped up in the stock market, glory to God, praise whatever you're doing. I don't care. I'm just telling you, you better be careful. Because there are things and mechanisms going on behind the scene that you cannot control, you cannot figure out. And you go, well, I've done all my research on this stock. It doesn't matter. It can all be manipulated by one, what's that formula they call that, you know, like, it's a formula they use to sell stock. They do it on Facebook. What do they call them whenever they judge whether whether you're algorithm? They can write an algorithm and it just blows it all up. So what I'm saying is you better trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the economy. Don't trust in Washington. Don't trust in Tallahassee or even our governor. I like him. I like him. I think he's doing a great job. I'm impressed with he's surrounding himself with a lot of Christians. A lot of great Christians are surrounding that governor. And I think that's another reason why he's making wise decisions. I got one-on-one with him. So I said, I got one more question. And now I worded the question. He didn't blink an eye. I said, when you become president, will you take care of all those military people that have been kicked out because of the COVID shot? And he answered my question. He's answered it before. He answered it the same way I've heard him answer it before. I just wanted to ask that question. Because I wanted to preface it, when you become president, you know. But listen, I'll just tell you, just because he's doing a good job, my trust is not in Ron DeSantis. Let's do it this way. Would I rather have a Ronald Reagan or a Joe Biden? I mean, really? I mean, you go, well, yeah, Reagan. Well, does that mean that you think he's God? No. It just means I'd rather have somebody that's going to stand up and care about this country, care about people, and care about our military and all that needs to be done in this country, and gets up there and recognizes and says there's a God. Did he know exactly? Was he saved? I don't know. But I just know this. I'd rather have that type of leader that I can look to than the ones that we have now. That's what you got to look at. So on back, and we'll wrap this up. Before I do, look at Psalm 97. There is one other psalm I want you to look at, and then we'll wrap up the last two verses. Psalm 97, look at verse 10. Here is your admonition. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That's it. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to hate evil. You know what we do now? We don't hate it like we should. We don't hate it like we should. And because of that, evil prevails. What do they say? The only way for evil to prevail is just good men do nothing. So you got to decide, hey, listen, if things continue to go south, are you going to stand up for what's right, what's godly? Are you going to stand up for the Bible? You're going to stand up for God-given rights. See, our rights are not given to us by the government. And that's the problem we have right now, is that the government in charge in Washington thinks they give us our rights. They don't. They're God-given, inalienable rights according to what the Constitution says, let alone what the Bible says. So let's close this up. He says in verse 6 again, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. That's what he loves. I know you want to be like him. If you want to be Christ-like, love the things he loves. Hate the things he hates. It doesn't mean you have to be hateful. It doesn't mean you gotta go to people and go, well, you know, you've got this sin in your life and I hate you. No. Let God do the hating, except for hate. You can hate the unrighteous, you can hate the sin, but you don't have to be ugly to the sinner. In fact, you ought to always be thinking about the soul. Their soul. And you don't know what shoes they've walked in. So always keep that in mind. We have a tendency, and especially as men, to look at people and judge them pretty harshly. You know, we look at them and go, oh, look at their, you know, all the metal all over their face. You know, it's attention. It's attention. But you don't have, you know what? You can still give them the gospel. I mean, I saw some people in the Biden administration, you know, the one that stole the suitcase. I'm sure some of you have heard about that. And how he looked, and the thing from Pennsylvania, that's a he-she. And why did he get that job? He got the job because of being trans. Do I hate him for being trans? No. Would I agree that he's a woman? Absolutely not. Would I try to give him the gospel? Yes. Give him the gospel. Now, I will tell you this, and I'm very cautious of this. I wouldn't want to be in a picture with him. I'm just saying, I'd have to find a way to witness to somebody where somebody can't snap a picture, unless they can look at me like, you know. It's just sort of shaky. And let's put it this way, it won't be like this. You know. Unless it's like this. No, it won't be that. Anyway, let's all stand together. Thank you again for choosing to be here today. It is a joy to see your smiling faces. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross. Just pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. As the music plays.